I'm in New Jersey.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah.
So here we are, everyone. Some of us are from here. Some of us are from there. And some of us are from everywhere. I just had to say that.
Yeah.
You know, so we welcome you all. I'm Charlotte Ouellette, the International Director of the Celebrant Foundation, and I'm happy that our celebrants, our students, alumni, and friends, if there's any friends on the phone, join us this evening for our wonderful Celebrant Conference Call series on October 3rd, 2013. I'm just going to do a little housekeeping. If you just joined us, hi. Hang in there. We'll say hello to you in a moment. But all you have to do is, if it's kind of noisy in the background where you are, let's say somebody comes in or something happens, you can *6 to mute, and you can *6 again to unmute and speak with us, because this is going to be a dynamic phone call. I am going to be, so you know, you can *6 if you want. Otherwise, hey, feel free to just be on the call, and if you have your speakers on by your computer, you might want to turn them down. I'm just going to do that now to mine. Duh. And that way we won't get any feedback. And I think we're ready to start. So I want to thank you all for being here. I'm going to give Joni a nice little welcome. But Joni, thank you for being on the phone. We have Joni Eisinger here. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited.
Who else has joined us? I hear a couple dings, besides Joni, Jean, Denise, Karen, and Christina. Who else is on the line?
Jane is. Hi, good evening. Who?
I'm sorry?
Jane Hughes.
Hi, Jane.
Enid Medina. Hi, how are you? Good evening.
Hi, Enid.
Hi.
Okay, we have New York City and New Jersey. Anyone? Hi, who just joined us? Hello. Okay, well, so far we have with us about seven or eight people, seven or eight celebrants, and I'm going to start here now. It's being recorded, so I'll be happy to give this recording to those folks who want to hear it afterwards, or that RSVP'd and weren't able to come on board. Joni Eisinger, who's on our special guest tonight, I have the privilege to know and now interview. She is a highly acclaimed healer, channel, guide, and author living in New Jersey, and she practices worldwide. Tonight, Joni will talk with us about, this is a great, great thing to talk about, the art of balance, healing, and intuition as a celebrant. As celebrants, we all work closely with our client honorees, balancing emotional elements, both our own and our honorees, during the process. And in doing so, we find the need to feel a sense of confidence and emotional harmony. I invited Joni to share her amazing life's work and discover how her knowledge and experience can speak to us as life cycle celebrants and also help us with our wonderful practice. This is an hour interview, and the first half will be with Joni. I'll be asking her questions, and then we'll open it up either in a half hour or sooner to have all of you part of the conversation, because this is a conversation. Let me give you Joni's bio. That way she won't have to say it herself. I am welcoming her. We are welcoming her.
Thank you.
Joni received her Master's of Social Work degree from Columbia University, and she holds a postgraduate certificate in Gestalt Therapy. In New York City, she provided individual and group therapy for 10 years. Her path took a detour when she became acutely chemically sensitive. She left conventional medicine, found complementary or alternative healing, and ventured on a spiritual journey. As Joni healed, she spent a great deal of time reading and researching spirituality and healing. She realized her newfound knowledge far exceeded the training she had received. She worked with the shaman of South America tradition and taught herself Gary Craig's emotional freedom technique. It's called EFT. Joni received the ability to facilitate hands-on healing after listening to a friend describe what he had learned in a series of workshops. As she opened, she became gifted with an array of healing and channeling abilities. Her extensive spiritual library is filled with information that she has incorporated into her work. Her teachers include Esther Abram Hicks, Ted Andrews, Luke Chan, Rabbi David A. Cooper, Donna Eden, David Feinstein, Shakti Gawain, David Hawkins, Lao Tzu, Louise Hay, Stephen Lewis, Carol Miss, Sonia Roman, Dwayne Packer, Don Miguel Ruiz, Robert Schwartz, Eckhart Tolle, Doreen Virtue, and I probably missed a couple, but maybe they'll pop up later.
Fine.
So Joni, can you share with us your story? And also, you know, stories from your experience that would paint a picture of the depth of your important work that you can that might speak to us.
Sure. Well, first I want to thank everyone for being here and tuning in around the world, around the country. I want to say that I was this regular person. I was the social worker, and I used to diagnose people like me. I thought that people who were psychic, people who were healers, were either narcissists or flakes or sociopaths. So I had a great diagnostic manual that would put a code to people like me. And then I had a dark night of the soul. I had quite a few in my life, but I had one where I was homebound for 6 months and I couldn't open up windows or doors. And I at one point I could only eat two foods. I was allergic to the outside air. Some people might have heard it called environmental illness. And I knew that I wasn't, quote-unquote, crazy because I was a psychiatric social worker and I had watched the sensitivities build through the years. And then as I healed with the help of a chiropractor who was doing energy medicine, I started being able to channel departed ones and pets. And then I became clairvoyant. And then I had energy shooting out of my hands, and I could see white light, and everything was changing in my life. And then I started laughing. I thought, oh, my gosh, everything that I thought that wasn't so really is, and that there's more than what one can see. I was into what was reportable and definable, and, in fact, everything that was happening to me was esoteric. It was all etheric and cause for speculation. So I just want to say that I used to be very, very different from who I am now. I did always question things, but I lived quite a conventional life. I had a doctor for every body part, and I took medicine and worked very closely with psychiatrists. So I just want to say that it's a 180-degree change, and that if any of you have never spoken with someone who's psychic, someone who is into the metaphysics, this stuff is really hard to make up. That when people say that they were hit with being able to see apparitions or all of a sudden they were getting premonitions, for me, this is my truth. It is so. We're all hardwired the same way. I believe we're spiritual beings inhabiting a physical body here for a spiritual experience. So with that being said, in terms of my experience, I guess I'd say I've had personal experiences and professional experiences, which I combine together to make who I am today, how I can assist others. I faced many life-threatening illnesses in my life, many, many challenges, hospitalized when I was 1 year old. On my birthday, actually, with an illness, and then childhood illnesses and a lot of ER experiences and surgeries. So in terms of facing my mortality and feeling helpless and out of control, I planned, we'll get into that pre-birth planning, I planned to sock it to myself many, many times in this lifetime in order to have the opportunity to grow. I also have experienced both marriage and divorce. And again, I know you celebrants, you deal with many life cycle issues. So I've experienced the ecstasy and then the falling down from that place. And I've made that through too. I also have had a miscarriage. I'm sure many of you work with women who have experienced that, and the partners who are experiencing the loss as well. And the other part, the personal part that's helped me on my journey is, as a therapist, I was in therapy on and off for about seven and a half years, and I believe that it is very important for a person who's in an influential role to take responsibility for clearing themselves of issues that they have. So I am very happy to say that I did that personal work, and a lot of clarity came from it, and a lot of baggage was released. Hmm. Professionally, I meet two groups of souls. There are the souls that are very wounded, and they're seeking answers. They're in pain, whether it be physical, emotional, or spiritual. Many have lost faith. Many have left their religion and are embarking on a spiritual journey. Many have lost loved ones, and they haven't accepted their perceived loss. Many are in crisis. On the other hand, there is another group of souls, and they've found their soulmates, they're expecting a child, they've obtained a new job, they wish clarification, validation, release of any blocks that might hinder their progress or their happiness. So in terms of what I have experienced, what I bring to the table is my life along with the people who I have worked with before when I was a social worker and who come to me now as a healer. I'm able to answer all questions that are posed to me. Now, this isn't I am a channel, which means that I'm a vessel. I'm like a tube, and I somehow, I don't know how I do this, but I was a healer in past lives, so I move my spirit aside. Joni's in there somewhere. She knows what's going on. But I allow divine ones to come through to answer questions for others. I don't spoon feed. They don't spoon feed. They want us to work so we grow spiritually. Every now and then they'll give direct answers if it's for the person's highest good, but they really do want us to work. Who is we? Ascended masters, archangels, departed ones, consciousnesses, star beings. So in terms of also what I can do, I can go into people's bodies and I can address their physical concerns. Everything is a consciousness. So a body itself is an alive being. A finger is a consciousness. A hand is another type of a consciousness. The entire body has ideas and is growing too. It comes together to agree to be that physical vessel for that soul that's sitting in it. Just like our car. Our car is a consciousness. It comes together to be the particulates, to be called the car that's going to carry you wherever you go. That's why you say, nice car, I love you, I love you. Be my friend, don't conk out. So I also don't take your refrigerator, your oven, your hair dryer for granted. Make nice to it. That's what I say. Make nice. And also I can go into the aura, which is the energy field outside the body. As I said, the physical body and the chakras. I used to laugh, by the way, when I was a social worker, chakra and aura I thought were crazy. These are energy centers. My paradigm is I work with 7 chakras, but there are many other traditions where there are more chakras that are in the body and outside the body, and that they each have a role. They each are very symbolic, and they help us. They help us operate. And we each have we have lessons to learn, and the chakras symbolize different lessons for us to learn. Hmm. My forte is going into past lives. I believe in reincarnation. I believe that this is Earth school. That this is not home. This is one of the most difficult planets to come to for soul growth opportunity. So if any of you wonder, like, why is it so difficult, it's because it is. It's a very, souls don't tend to like being in bodies. They find it cramped like a wetsuit. But we choose to come here because we can really sock it to ourselves. So when we go back home and they say, so how was it? We can talk about what opportunities we had for growth and if we expanded and what we need to work on again. I do general readings and general healings as well. After working with clients, they experience a newfound sense of faith and relief and hope. Many of them shift, and oftentimes they say that they feel lighter. Some say that they feel me working on them, even if it's done by distance. Mm-hmm. So that's a bit about me. I didn't know, Charlotte, if you wanted me to give just a few examples of clients and what...
if you can, I think everybody is just... we're listening to you, and it's amazing.
I'm going to keep going. I'm just going to keep yapping.
Yeah, could you just, I mean, we'll break in. I mean, this is a small group of people tonight. I think there's no more than 10 or 15. So I would love to have you, would everybody else like that? Would everybody like Joni to tell us a couple, a little bit of history of what she, you know, people that she's worked with or souls that she's worked with? Would you like that?
Yes.
Okay. I was trying to think about how you celebrate, what you experience and how that might correlate with what I do. So an example, get a phone call from a woman, and she says, my sister died. My mother is a wreck. She's on medicine, I think antidepressants and anti-anxiety, and she can't accept it, and she's a mess, and we're a mess. So it took a few phone calls because she did say that it went against her religion. I said, I understand it. I am Jewish by birth, and this whole thing went against my religion too, until Jesus showed up in synagogue when I was in silent meditation, and then I got a little confused. And so I shared that with her, and they came to my house. The dad came, the mom, the dad, and the daughter, you know, the one who had contacted me, they came to my house. And they had, I'm sure you all deal with very complicated situations. They ambushed the dad, so the dad didn't even know why he was coming. He had difficulty because of the religious piece. I spent so much time outside of the session time explaining what I did because in his religion, he was concerned that I was dealing with the dark and evil and all of this, and I was explaining about white light and protection, and I only call upon the highest of Christ-like consciousness. Well, I did the channeling. I channeled the daughter, and there were a lot of tears. I can feel the departed one. They come through me, and I can talk, and Joni's still there. My Joni doesn't go anywhere. She knows what's going on. And as it was happening, the mom shouts out and says, oh, my gosh, she's holding my hands. And she starts crying. And then the daughter at the same time says, oh, my gosh, she's holding my hands too. And the joy that was in this room was, it was outrageous. And the dad, who was more of a skeptic, you know, he's looking at his wife and his daughter like you can't help but believe. I don't know how to say it any other way, but when you go to and all of a sudden your loved ones are saying this and they're crying. And it was a blessed event. And then again, we were outside saying goodbye. And I'm getting a little choked up just cuz, you know. And they're standing there on the driveway and the same thing happens. We're just talking and the mother says, "She's holding my arm." And the sister says, the daughter, you know, says, "Oh my gosh, she linked my arm in mine." And the mother said to me at the end, she said, I don't want to be on medicine. I don't want to be on medicine anymore. And I said, well, that was the goal, is for you to be off medicine. Mm-hmm. So that's an example of how connecting with the other side offers people peace and the validation that we are eternal souls, that we do not die, that we might not be there in physical body, but we are ever present, mm-hmm. and that people can move on. They can find closure. Another example is, not specifics, but I've had several people come to me, and they have difficulty accepting that they were not there when their loved one died. Mm-hmm. For example, they missed the plane, the car broke down, whatever it is. And I have...
Like they died when they left the room?
Well, it's either they died when they left the room or they didn't make it to the hospital or to mm-hmm. the hospice or to the home. They didn't make it and they missed the death. Mm-hmm. And 100% of the time, I channel the departed soul and I get other guides and consciousnesses that come in to fill in the holes that they were not supposed to be there, that it was divinely ordered for different reasons. Either the person would not have been able to handle the scene physically and emotionally, or they needed that soul, the one who was dying, could not have handled that person being there because it was too stressful, too emotional. Mm-hmm. 100% of the time, it is it's divinely ordered, and that I've found that is so freeing for the person to hear that because they're carrying around guilt. If I had only been there, then dot, 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 and then they fill in their own blank. And then and then the other things, too, in terms, these are related to what I believe you all deal with, or most of you, is that clients ask me about when they're going to meet their soulmate, about miscarriages, conflicted conflicts, and relationships that have ended, divorce, fertility, miscarriage, pregnancy, abortion, and rape. And that I also channel souls that are in the womb, too, where I can work on fetuses and help them work through karma before they're even outside and in the world. So I've found that by doing this work, people expand. They find a sense of peace. They believe, if they haven't already, they are not alone, that they are loved. The loneliest of souls, the ones who have suicidal ideation, the ones that are trying to kick some habit, to know that they have at least two spirit guides that are with them from birth until death, to know that there are archangels and guardian angels that are assigned to them, archangels, ascended masters, departed ones, and other fantastical creatures, the elementals, leprechauns, fairies, and all of those. Yeah, they're real folks. That we are not alone. So that's my mouthful.
Mm-hmm. Okay, you have had a great amount of experience with healing and connecting and guiding, and have received praise and awards, and I believe that you also have a radio show, but we'll talk about that later. Do you have insights that you can share with our celebrants that will enhance their practice and how they can serve people? A lot of times, let me give an example. We will get a call for any array of ceremonies. It could be a wedding with a couple, and in talking with them to find out how they would like to honor their ancestors or what their story is of how they met. And, you know, you're bringing two families together and maybe, you know, more than two families together. So, and there is a lot of, sometimes we, as celebrants, we are there to create the ceremony, whether a wedding, a funeral, a baby naming, divorce ceremony, whatever it might be, and we feel their energy. We feel energy. I can say that for all of our celebrants. We feel something coming in, and we know that we're working on this. We're going to give them a beautiful ceremony, but also we feel like maybe, if not at the time that even in their voices or how they respond to the questions, or maybe at the rehearsal with the parents and the family. So we are a vessel, but also we feel that we're a tuning fork. And what we try to do unconsciously is to be able to take this event, let's call it a wedding, and if there's, you know, whatever it might be, let's say there's children from their former marriages, let's say, you know, so the kids are feeling the sense of their parent getting married again. All this thing, we synthesize it in an instant. Yeah. And for some reason, we have this feeling, and maybe I'm talking out of myself, but just from talking to other celebrants, that we are bringing a blanket of harmony and peace where they can be. Not that they have to get along with one another, but they're in this moment, this, if you want to call it, the sacred moment of ceremony, and something magical happens. I remember a long time ago when we first started the Celebrant Foundation, we went down to Australia where it started, where they had, you know, 40-year history, and I listened to this one celebrant. Her name is, and you guys are going to laugh, her name is Diane Story. She's a funeral celebrant, and she would call herself Di Story, which was kind of funny. All right. So, and she's an amazing celebrant, and she's done some great work also with the SIDS Foundation there. But she would say in the middle of her ceremony, or towards the end, she would say, in honor of, let's say, the deceased, of Stephen, let us all come together in this moment, and before the sun sets, reach out to someone in your life, maybe someone in this room, someone in the family, someone connected to you, maybe not even in this family, that you haven't spoken to for years. And in their name, in their memory, make a connection. They're making a connection with you here and leaving their legacy to you. So she would say this. She'd give them some homework. Mm-hmm. It was like amazing. And I just thought that was really cool. And I asked her later, you know, why? And she says, because, Charlotte, I feel that we're embracing all souls.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that the souls that have passed may have regrets, might not have regrets, whatever they are. This is what good people do for one another.
Mm-hmm.
They pass on the very best. So, you know, maybe I'm speaking from off of my own experience, but is there anybody, any celebrant here that can jump in here and expand this a little bit to describe to Joni?
Charlotte, this is Christina from Santa Fe. Joni, number one, thank you for talking about this. You're telling my story.
So good.
I had years before the celebrancy happened, I inadvertently ended up starting to channel, and it was people that were past, and they would have me do various things to help bring settling to the family, and it just kept expanding. And so I ended up, it just kept opening doors. And what I found through the celebrancy is I'm the one, I'm the one that gets called for the situations where there's something that nobody wants to talk about. And so what ends up happening is I end up being the channel, and I have a lot of spiritual intervention and a lot of loved ones that have passed. And I neutralize an entire ceremony in the situation so that things can be spoken of in the very beginning of the ceremony just to honor those that then have passed. Mm-hmm. And we have a lot of times I'm guided to say certain things, to bring in signs and symbols that will allow everybody in this experience to collectively take a deep breath and allow themselves the joy, because they truly feel that there's a spiritual presence there and that they're being blessed. And somebody has talked about it and given them freedom to be able to celebrate and have life again. And it's, that is what has been happening pretty much with every ceremony that I do, whether it's a baby navy ceremony, transition ceremonies, weddings. It is very, very rare that I don't have that happen. And there's a pervasive peace that happens, and I can't even explain what a privilege it feels like to be used in this way.
Thank you for sharing that.
Thank you. Thank you so much for talking about this. When I read your bio, I was just in absolute awe because I, you know, it was so profound to have somebody finally talk about this and to be able to utilize our gifts and our natural instincts to be able to start pulling it up and allow a light for other people to follow and be okay that, you know, this is part of who we are.
I want to thank you so much because it makes me also feel not alone. I have a pretty large spiritual network, you know, but to connect with more people like you and all of you here, very important, because to come out as a channel, as a healer, was very risky for me. I had a lot of fear. But I do want to dovetail that and say that if any of you ever feel that something's happening, talk about it with someone. You know, if you feel you're being gifted, enough people out there that can guide you. Many people have shut off their gifts. What all of you are doing as celebrants is very, very important. And if you are having a spiritual awakening, you just hold on. Just hold on tight. It probably means that you're ready for it. You might have pre-birth planned it, meaning before you incarnated, you might have chosen on your timeline to have an awakening at a certain point, and that it might. And if you didn't pre-birth plan it, it means that it was a free will choice. It means that you just made decisions along the way, and you ended up there, and that your spirit was ready. So there is a spiritual awakening going on around the world, and more people are talking about it, and fewer people are raising their fists or rolling their eyes. Mm-hmm. So for you to be able to facilitate these different ceremonies, in so many different types of ceremonies, is I just find phenomenal, as I find it phenomenal for me to be talking with you all about something where years ago someone would have called 911, there would have been a butterfly net at my house. So I may I share a little bit about what I believe might be helpful for you all? Because
absolutely.
I wrote a list down of some things that I thought might be helpful. One thing is to work on clearing any personal issues that you have. There are many people that say, oh, I'm afraid of ghosts, I'm afraid of spiders, I'm afraid of heights. Well, chances are there are past life issues that are unresolved, whether it's going to therapy, doing past life regression, going to a channel, a healer, to work on your issues, to rid yourself. Very, very important to be able to be there for someone else. There might be a person who's a spider lover, and if you're afraid of spiders, there's some reason why you were connected with them. You'd probably want to be able to provide the service for them, but if they want to show you their spider collection, it would be great if you didn't have that issue. That's just an example, and I guess I'm bringing up spider because I had to be in therapy to get over it. Do forgiveness work. Shakti Gawain, that's S-H-A-K-T-I, and the last name is Gawain, G-A-W-A-I-N, as in Nancy. She wrote a book, the Creative Visualization Workbook, and she suggested make a list of all the people that you're angry at, all the ones you have resentments and unforgiveness. Go as far back as possible, as far back as your memory is. It could be the mailman, it could be a teacher, it could be anyone. And with each person, you do forgiveness work. They do not have to be alive. I'm talking just etherically. You do not have to call them up, write them a note, and mail it. And they can be departed souls too. And you go through a process, and you say, I forgive myself. And the reason why you forgive yourself is oftentimes when seemingly bad things happen, we blame ourselves first. So you say, I forgive myself. Then you say, I forgive you. Now, it might be God. It could be Mother Earth. It could be the wind. So you does not, it could be an animal. So it doesn't have to be a person. And then you say, please forgive me. Now, if it's a group, if it's a collective or an institution or a neighborhood, please, all of you, forgive me. And then the last part is, thank you, God, and you don't have to use the word God. It could be creator, source, spirit, all that is, whatever, however you wish, you know, universe. Thank you for this life lesson. And that is very powerful. You work through karma. Karma is the baggage. That's if in a lifetime you go to your passing with unforgiveness. When you go back home, there's life review. And they ask you, so how was it? What'd you learn? Did it work? What happened? There is no judgment, and there is no punishment. Mm-hmm. And if you have not done the forgiveness work, and you go back home with the resentment, you then, in fact, have karma. And at some point, you're going to need to come back to Earth School to do some type of a do-over. Might be with that person. Won't be the exact situation. It could be a flip of it, learning by opposites. But whatever it is, if you do this forgiveness exercise, you are releasing energy. If you do it genuinely, you are in fact releasing very powerful energy. And if you're not so hip to it, it might not in fact work. You need to be at a place where you believe. Go ahead.
Can I ask
you
a question? Yeah. So okay, I'm listening to what you're saying, and I even if we are not healers or clairvoyant or psychics, basically this is a good thing to do anyways, because like you said, we have a responsibility, and maybe if we don't want to think of ourselves in many ways channeling things, I think that to a certain degree all of us are, because we're involved in ceremony. We are entrenched in it. You know, it oozes from Celebrants that you can't, you could call it whatever you want, but, and I would love to have, is there anyone else that can kind of pop in here with me and talk about this? But I think that this is a great work to think of what Joni's saying, because we clear ourselves and we help ourselves, because otherwise, how can we serve others? And also, how can we really, I think being a celebrant is a calling in many ways. It is we are sensitized as not people that go for closure. We are people who look at opening. It's always opening. And that is why we're life cycle celebrants. It's such a great phrase that we have registered for all our celebrants, because it reminds us that life is a cycle. And it could be a cycle to the point where who knows where it takes us and how we come back, and that cycle starts over again. So is there anyone else that would like to add something to what I'm saying, that they've had experiences or can talk to what Joni is mentioning?
Charlotte, it's Christina again. I also teach energy work and healing and intuitive psychic ability. And in my experience, we all are that. It's once we get our doubt out of the way. And the other part of it is I will also like to mirror what Joni has said. There's nothing more valuable than doing the work on self first, because that's what allows us to be that vessel. Because we no longer get in the way. Our judgment isn't getting in the way. Our emptiness is just purely empty and open, and we become more receptive for this information and also for higher guidance to come through.
Nice.
I believe we're all hardwired the same way. So I just do also want to clarify that y'all could channel and y'all could be healers. Everyone's got there are minor chakras or energy centers in the palms of all of our hands, all human beings. We all can be clairvoyant. Right in the center where your eyes are is the pineal gland. And in the pineal gland, they have found there are rods and cones there, just like in the eyes. So we all can do this. We're all spiritual beings. It's just that as the centuries have gone on, society, a lot of the messages that have been given to us have told us we've been inured to this, and we believe that we're just physical bodies, and only what we see is what is. I also want to say, oh, go ahead.
No, go right ahead. I'll
talk fast because I want to open it up.
Very
important.
Ahead.
Okay. Very important to have very good boundaries. Know where you end and where someone else begins. Say no when it's indicated. No people pleasing, no rescuing. Rest and don't overdo it. There are enough light workers to go around. So there are a lot of people that fall into the rescuer victim drama, and they want to save and save and save. But in spiritual land, which I call this, or my belief system, is that in order for someone to learn, sometimes they need to be in pain, they need to be in discomfort. And if you are rescuing them, then you are actually interfering with their soul growth opportunity or opportunities. So once you embrace that concept, the next time that you see someone, I've fallen and I can't get up, you need to use discernment and decide, what is the situation? Do I pick them up or do they need to be down right now? So that's very, very important. Also, protection. I do believe that it's important to put protection around oneself. This is not coming from a place of fear. I talk quite factually. There are negative energies that are out there. I believe they're souls that are just more removed from the light or God source than others, and that I think it's important for us to remain as healthy as possible, not to have addictions, and that we can place a cocoon or a bubble or a light shaft of white light around ourselves. And you can do this every morning when you wake up. And that as you become more comfortable with it, you don't really even have to consciously do it. You just wake up and you know that you have divine protection. This is something that I believe is important that you could say if you have been in a very stressful situation. You can call upon Archangel Michael. Some traditions say Saint Michael. And you can Google Archangel and what Archangel Michael does. He is the protector. He is a ginormous consciousness close to the Godhead. And you can say this after you've been in a dialogue or a situation that's been quite stressful and is maybe negative. You can say, please cut the cords of fear and negativity that are draining me of my energy and vitality. Thank you.
That's a good one.
Now, cords are energetic cords. There are cords. They connect people etherically from belly button to belly button. I've been told they're silvery, although I clairvoyantly don't see silver. I just kind of feel them and know. Now, there are cords that are between a parent and a child, and they're very important. Very important, or between an adult and their caring for a senior adult, let's say, or a helpless adult. These are important nurturing cords. I'm talking about cords that are unhealthy, that develop when there is dysfunction. Those cords need to be cut. So whenever I have a session with someone afterwards, I say this, and I feel there's like a sigh that comes over me, because he comes in, he just goes whoosh, and they're gone. I also recommend doing a grounding affirmation if you wish. We are spirits in a body, and we're connected. We live on Mother Earth. She's a spirit in a giant rock, and we all live on her, and she loves us, and we love her. It's like a symbiotic relationship. Now, there are people that are not grounded. So if people say, oh, I'm not grounded, or I need to ground myself or center myself, you can do this exercise, and you will ensure that you remain grounded. Why is it good to be grounded? Because if, let's say, we have a horrible case of the flu, or we experience a death, something, or even just, you know, someone cuts us off and when we're driving, and we get, you know, fatutzed, then to be grounded to Mother Earth, it's almost like a little bit of an insurance policy, or it increases the chances of us not being thrown. So this is what I recommend you say when you put your feet on the floor first thing in the morning when you wake up. You don't need socks or slippers. You could be whatever's on your feet or nothing. And you say, I imagine the soles of my feet being one with the earth, like roots of a tree growing deep into the earth for strength and stability. After you get used to that, you don't have to say it anymore. I just wake up, I put my feet down, and I just kind of say, it's done. I want to mention about pre-birth planning. We all travel in soul groups. So these are like-minded souls that we like to have incarnations with on Earth. But this is my belief system, and I don't impose this on anyone. This is just what I now believe. Mm-hmm. That before anyone comes to Earth, they gather members of their soul group together, and there are spirit guides, and there are archangels, ascended masters, etc., and you gather around, and you make decisions. Do you want to be a man, or do you want to be a woman? Who wants to play the parts of my parents? Am I going to have siblings? Where am I going to be born? When am I going to be born? What might I even look like? And then they'll show images like of a morph of what you'll look like through the ages. And then you put down on your timeline at least 5 exit opportunities. And this is key because many of you deal with death. These are high probability chances that you could leave, that you could die. So when it comes to that point on the timeline, the angels will come to that soul etherically and say, hey, how you doing? You want to go? And depending on what's going on, the soul will have conversations and say, I'm doing fine. See you the next time around. Bye-bye. And it works like that with exit opportunities. Sometimes people leave, and it is not pre-birth planned with an exit opportunity. They make free will choices where they end up dying. So I want to say that too about pre-birth planning. And then what's very important with pre-birth planning is that in order for us to grow, what do? We throw in traumas. Yay! And so a lot of people on earth, oh, it's horrible. This is horrible. That's horrible. All these horrible. When in fact, and I haven't drunk the Kool-Aid and I don't wear rose-colored glasses, mm-hmm. is that these are seemingly bad events that are divinely ordered in order for us to have soul growth opportunity. So we make decisions with our soul group members as to what we might experience, whether it be contracting AIDS, losing a limb, having an addiction, being incested or raped, et cetera, et cetera. Two books I recommend highly regarding this by Robert Schwartz, S-C-H-W-A-R-T-Z, Your Soul's Plan and Your Soul's Gift. And I highly recommend them. So mm-hmm. that's pre-birth planning. And then I'll say this last thing, and then I think, Charlotte, you'll tell what to do, mm-hmm. Is that my story is complicated. I was born a Jew, and I was very devout. And if anyone saw Fiddler on the Roof, when the daughter marries the non-Jew and he turns his back on the daughter, I said when I was a teenager, I will be that parent that if my child, when I have a child, if they ever marry outside the religion, I will never speak with them again. So I was in temple and in choir, and then I started having a spiritual awakening, and I started reading books, and Jesus had said things, and Mother Mary, and I thought, oh, that's pretty cool. He's actually saying some pretty neat things. Then he comes to me when I'm in silent meditation, and that doesn't work because I didn't believe that he did anything because there's no mention. You know, we really don't talk about him in the religion. Then I learned that he was my spirit guide. Then I outed myself to my rabbi, and that didn't work out very well. And a month later, I became an ordained reverend in a spiritual church. So I had a lot of guilt about leaving my religion because I didn't understand how in Leviticus it said that soothsayers were evil, and I was channeling departed ones, and people were crying and blessing me, and their lives were changing because of what I was doing as this soothsayer. So I want to share, too, that spiritual awakenings, you might have had them, all of you, some of you, and you might be dealing with people that are going through them. They can rattle a soul. Many people, when they leave their religion, they feel a lot of guilt and shame, and they feel that God might just punish them with that thunderbolt, and they might lose family and friends, and they might lose a whole congregation that they were attached to. Mm-hmm. And I did lose quite a few things, but I'm very, very happy and I'm filled with joy. So I just want to share that too. Mm-hmm. And mind you, oh, and the last thing is I am not religious anymore. I am spiritual, and I believe in the term unity consciousness. So some people ask me, well, what are you? You know, like you feel so religious. What, you know, do you go to church? And I just have them look up the word unity consciousness. So that's my mouthful again, Charlotte, and all of you. Mm-hmm.
Anybody else have a question or a comment? Well, I want to tell you, we've had the Sullivan Foundation here for 13 years, and there was something that rattled me, I think, early on, and it affected me as I went forward with the Celebrant Foundation. I went to Australia to see what's cooking down there and see if this is something that, you know, Gail Sarma and I would want to bring back to the United States. And as I said, they have been doing this for quite some time. And I had the great honor and privilege to go around with different celebrants in that, I think, 3 weeks that I was there, right around, the 9/11 events that happened in this country just a little after that. And there was a celebrant there that had been doing ceremonies for many years, and I got in the car with her, and she said, okay, you know, we're going to go to this ceremony, this wedding that I have today. And I was just going around and being with celebrants as they were interviewing people for funerals or doing funerals or weddings or, you know, baby blessings, everything. But this one particularly got me. And so we got out of her car, and the wedding was taking place in a park. There was the bride and the groom. All of the gals were dressed in red, and the guys were dressed in, you know, some casual thing, not really with tuxedos or anything. And then I saw a big box on a table and a little boy and a baby. And so what had happened was this man and woman, bride and groom, were getting married, but they had been together for many, many years, and they had two children, one little boy who was about four and an infant. They did not get married because apparently the groom, his father, was a big shot in Australia, and said to his son that he was going to cut him off completely, and did, if he married this girl, because she was like maybe from, you know, the other side of the tracks or whatever you want to call it. So they said, we don't need to get married anyways, and you know, they had two children, and I didn't know what to expect, but the celebrant was telling the story, and I saw his parents up next to him and her parents next to her, and the groom's father came before the group of people outside in this beautiful setting, out, you know, green grass and on a little hill, and the celebrant was careful not to have the wind in her face. It was going from her back forward because she didn't have a microphone, and she was, you know. So he got up and he said, I want to tell you what a fool I've been for so many years that I have denied my son and my daughter-in-law life, and I now have the greatest lesson in life to learn, because my grandson, who is in the arms of his grandmother, doesn't have long to live.
Yeah.
And he said, you know, I missed out on 4 years with the older brother. He says, now I'm going to miss out completely with this little guy.
Yeah.
And I feel... He said, like, I'm so sad, but I've learned the biggest lesson I've learned from a six-month-year-old baby that happens to be my grandson. So anyways, this really gets me the story, because I was looking at the celebrant, and she was really trying to keep it together, man. I'm telling you, and when I say to keep it together, it wasn't that she was crying. I could physically see that she had been working with this family for 6 months, and here I was coming from the United States, coming to see a ceremony, and the emotion that just came at us all, and I could feel like things coming out of him and leaving forever, but also the love, the enormous love. So after the ceremony, which was really quite beautiful and everything that you would expect from a, and then also that everybody put wish boxes, including the little boy, the older brother, for his brother when he dies, as he transforms himself and goes to another level. I mean, and the way she had written the ceremony, she had taken acting, and she, you know, she was a, I have photos of her in the ceremony, as a matter of fact. I took pictures of her, and you could see her standing like an energy rod, so tall, and there was something going on. I felt everybody was, like you said, grounded, but there was some great release, because he asked for forgiveness.
Yes,
he did. And so we went into her car afterwards, and I didn't notice this, because, you know, you say goodbye, we don't stay for food and celebrants unless we really know the couple or his family. We might stay for a little glass of water, maybe a little orange juice, you know, but anyways, we went into the car, and she just started sobbing. And I think she said, do you know anything about what transference is? I said, I don't know. I'm sorry. I don't know. I mean, I learned afterwards. But, and she was crying, and she says, I'm letting this family go now. I have to let them go. Yeah. She says, because it's been so close. But she says, I want to tell you something, Charlotte. She says, you are going to start bring celebrants to the United States. Can you make sure, I'll never forget this, she says that after they do a ceremony or somehow, you guys stick together and help one another because you need to debrief and you need to be aware. She says, don't do it obviously. Just somehow make them always know that you're a family. So I said, I give you my word. But it was interesting because I really felt that a lot of lessons were coming through to me that were important, important lessons. And at the same time, I now feel, you know, that it was a great gift, that the ceremonies I saw, there was a reason for them, there was a purpose to them, and I still feel very connected to them as if they happened yesterday. So, and, you know, we've had different courses that we teach here. Deb Goldman, who's one of our teachers and been through a lot of trauma in her life, teaches the care and nurturing of celebrants. And also we have a family of celebrants. We have regional celebrants. We have committees. And basically we try to, you know, keep our celebrants knowing that we're one big family. And my question to you is, as, like you said, the celebrant, you know, keep yourself, you know, you have to protect yourself. And at the same time, you have to be open. You know, can you elaborate a little bit more about that? Any guidance you can offer us?
Well, I think that it's important not to be overly involved.
Mm-hmm.
I think that it's finding that balance, which is part of the theme, the title of this talk, is, again, when you know yourself and you're very clear. It's important to know about loving someone, loving yourself, and not abandoning yourself in the process. To be overly involved, again, it's interfering with a process of learning and an experience that the individual or individuals need to go through. People need to be able to separate from situations. Something also you all might experience too is if you feel like you've been there before.
Mm-hmm.
Some of you might feel, ooh, deja vu, or I know these people. Chances are you have. There are no coincidences. So the fact that you've been asked to perform, to facilitate with a group or an individual or couple is just no coincidence, probably pre-birth planned. Important to keep in mind, a channel shared this with me, 95% of our present life experiences are past life related.
Mm-hmm.
That's ginormous, and it just speaks eons. I really don't even have to elaborate because it just makes your mind go and go and go. Again, do the forgiveness work.
Mm-hmm.
Drink lots of water. I channel for people all the time. Yes, this is related. You might be asking, what does water have to do with my doing my job? We're made up of water. When we are dealing with stressful situations, our bodies are working in all different ways and energetically. And if you find that you're dehydrated and it's a very humid day, it could be that you are just working very, very hard. Keep mm-hmm. yourself hydrated. The water releases toxins in your physical body. So if you're working on issues spiritually, the water flushes it out physically. Very important. This is basic. I'm sure that you've got this in training, but just go for it. If you don't understand a client's request or tradition, ask. I think that's extremely important. Timidity is not an option. I have to ask people a lot of times what they mean by something. A lot of people assume mm-hmm. that you know, and it's very important to have clarity because if a nuance is missed, it shifts everything. I use these phrases. I think they're very high vibration affirmations. One of them is, all is unfolding in divine right order. Also, all is well, this too shall pass, and I love the serenity prayer. If people don't know it, it's, God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that gratitude and acceptance are underrated. I believe mm-hmm. that if you all go to that place of having gratitude, you can change your life. You can move mountains. And accepting what is, not going into the past and having that undoing, which is a Freudian defense mechanism, being present-centered and accepting your dole and seeing it as divinely ordered is powerful, and you, again, will shift your life and help others do that, too. Mm-hmm. So, let's see if there's anything. I wrote some notes. the longer you hold on to negative emotions, the greater the chances are that they're going to affect your body, that you're going to sock it to yourself. So I believe that illness is emotionally based. Sometimes we might pre-birth plan to have illnesses or conditions, but again, that's still emotionally based. So it's important to take a look at your sadness and your anger, any negative emotions, contempt and resentment, and work through them. It's taking responsibility. Be there for yourself, be that clear vessel, and then you can be that clear guide for someone else. So that's what I have to say, too.
Wonderful. Does anybody have any last questions for Joni at this time? Can you tell us what you're working on, Joni? Oh, did somebody say something?
Well, this is Aspen, and I just wanted to say thank you because it feels like such a timely message for me. Just today, I'm in the middle, Char, as you know, I'm in the middle of this business struggle, a contentious business dealing, and I've been full of contempt and resentment and anger and all those negative emotions, and I feel the wreck that it's making in my body. I feel it. I can feel it. And so I went to the office of the guy at the helm of this and said, I need to talk to you because I am so full of anger and contemptment and I just can't go on like this. I need to get some relief here. I need some conversation that will relieve something. And so we ended up having a fairly long conversation, and I was able to say some things I haven't been able to say to him before, and I said them very calmly and in a way that I didn't know that I could do, really. And I felt like I was in an altered state almost. And then I went for a walk with my husband after that out in the woods. And I felt like I was in another altered state, but a different one. And then just, you know, an hour and a half ago, I was practicing my accordion. And I realized I was in another altered state, and it was the feeling of all is well in my body, and I just felt incredibly on the other side of something huge today. And so it was, it resonates with me to pay attention to what your body is telling you, and you know it inside when it's not right.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
And then it's up to us to follow whatever leads we have to try to make it right and deal with it in the moment and not let it just continue on into the future and cause havoc in our bodies, like you say. So I really appreciate the conversation tonight and everything you've said. It's been
thank
right
you.
On.
I'm so glad you're here, and I'm so glad it was so timely.
Yeah.
I'm so glad.
Definitely.
And
yeah.
And honor what you've been through, and I suggest no regrets. A lot of people, once they have that aha experience, like, oh, so they start blaming themselves. Oh, what a fool I am. Oh, how could I have done that? Look, now I see clearly I should never have let it go on for that long or blah, 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 blah. And it's not about that. It's not about that, because at that moment or those moments, that time when you were in that place, that's where you were. You thought that was the best way of handling it. And again, it's the acceptance, and it's everything is divinely ordered. Everything is perfect. So always, if something is seemingly bad, we ask, what can I learn from this? Not, oh, this is horrible. Oh, I'm a victim. But, oh, is there anything that I could learn to make myself grow and expand? Because that's what Earth School is all about.
Yeah. I hear you. That's good. Thank you.
Yeah.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you for being here.
Joni, tell us what you're working on currently and how celebrants can keep in touch with you.
Well, I want to clarify, I don't have a radio show. One day I hope to have a TV show.
Okay.
I'm hoping for an Ellen DeGeneres format. So I'm hoping to be the fun psychic that has the rose quartz crystals underneath the seats instead of the BMWs. So I have a website, and that's joneswhitelighthealing.com. And I wrote a book, David's Guidance, A Book of Light, and that's available on Amazon and Barnes & Noble. Mm-hmm. That's 50 pieces that my guide, Yeshua, gave me. And I find it's quite a dense book. Some people understand it and others don't. It's about life lessons. And I'm in the middle of another book, of getting that out. And I do individual work and by phone and Skype and in person. And I love what I do. I'm a mom. And I don't know. I'm a very busy person. I work at a spa in Denville, New Jersey once a week. And I am at metaphysical fairs throughout the year. Mm-hmm. And in the meantime, I'm just touching a lot of people's lives. And also I'm available on, you could find me on Facebook and LinkedIn and Twitter. So if anyone wants to link up with me, I'd love that. And that's what I'm doing.
That's
good. Can you repeat the website again?
It's Joanies, which is Joanies, white, as in the color, light, LIGHT, healing.com. And I think that's on the celebrant invite for the phone
call. Yes, on the
email. Uh-huh. And maybe, I don't know, Charlotte, maybe everyone will get that again when it's posted on the site. It'll be there probably.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I will send out everyone a thank you and a recording for those who RSVP'd. And that would be great.
I also co-authored a book. Myself and 13 other people co-authored a book called The Chakra Journey, and that's available on Lulu and Amazon as well. Mm-hmm. And that's where I put my life story, which is in my book. I have that be my chapter. That's my contribution for that book. So that's what's happening. And I just want to thank everyone for being here, you know, this afternoon or evening, depending on where you are, or morning. I just really, it's a pleasure. And I love what you do. Charlotte, explain to me what you all do. And it's part of the awakening. That's all I can say, is you all are destined to do this, and keep doing it. And just know that you're touching lives, that you're making impressions on people's lives, and you're very needed. And just spread the word. Just when it feels right, open up your mouth and talk about it. Just talk about it. So thank you.
Joni, you're our sister. We love you. We thank you.
I love you too, honey.
It was a wonderful evening. We're so happy that you came on board and that all of you who could make it tonight did so as well. And I'm feeling good, and I'm going to let everybody know, when you get done with this phone call, I don't want to hear it from anyone that you didn't have a drink of water. Okay? I want celebrants to be hydrated. Okay. Okay, everyone. All right, thank you all.
Thank you.
So it's the top of the hour. I wish you guys all the best, and take care, everyone. Good night.
Namaste. Thank you, Charlotte. Thank you, Joni.
Good night, Ashley.
Oh, you're welcome. Bye, y'all.
Love you. Bye.
Bye.